Devi ki jai, Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Kutama Srimata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vijayana. Namaste Sarasvati Devi and Gauranga Vijayana. Nirvase Susumi Vai Paskachade Sitaraya Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Utah Padakama. Shri Guru Vaishnavanscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vikamastam Sajinam Sadvoitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitam Videna Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Vavita Shri Vishnu Kamitam Sajinam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So, September 6, 2010, Bhaktivinoda Thakura, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlada, saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, text 10. Uri Beda Parakrita
Uri Beda Parakrita
Uttahote Svato Bhavat
Uttahote Svato Bhavat
Manyatam Shrota Kamanam
Manyatam Shrota Kamanam
Gurunam Kulanandanam
Gurunam Kulanandanam
Uri Beda Parakrita
Uri Beda Parakrita
Uttahote Svato Bhavat Manyatam Shrota Kamanam
Manyatam Shrota Kamanam
Gurunam Kulanandanam
Gurunam Kulanandanam Uri Veda Parakrita Uri Veda Parakrita Uttahote Svato Bhavat Uttahote Svato Bhavat Manyatam Shrota Kamanam Manyatam Shrota Shrotu Kaman, Shrotu Kaman,
to us who are very eager to hear about it.
To us who are very eager to hear about it.
Gurunam,
Gurunam,
all your teachers.
All your teachers.
Kulanandana,
Kulanandana,
oh best of your family.
Oh best of your family.
Translation from Purport Shrotu. Oh best of your family, has this pollution of your intelligence been brought about by you or by the enemies? We are all your teachers and are very eager to hear about this. Please tell us the truth. So in other words, please tell us the truth is not
directly in the verse. If we look at the verse Buddhipeya, we say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught what philosophy? Achintaveda, Vedantas. What does Veda mean? Different, separate. So Buddhipeya, separated intelligence. Prabhupada translates here as pollution of your intelligence. Because when you separate your intelligence, Parakrita is interesting. Krita or Krita is activities. And para, how do we usually translate para?
Supreme.
Supreme or?
Other.
So here it's meaning other, as done by the other. So generally the materialistic people, they see an enemy as an other. Utam, okay, well, that wasn't really located here. Shrotu kamanam, shrotu is to hear, kamanam, lust, we're very eager to hear. And at the end, kula nandana, although they want to chastise Prahlad and criticize him, they're also flattering him. So this is the way of the materialists. They say something they don't mean in order to get what they want. So, oh yes, you are the best of the family. Please tell us this information so that we can't hurt you. So, report. Prahlad Maharaj's teachers were astonished that a small boy could speak such exalted Vaishnava philosophy. Therefore, they inquired about the Vaishnavas who stealthily taught it to him. It had to be stealthily because he was a little boy under their care. And they knew they didn't let any Vaishnavas in. In order that these Vaishnavas might be arrested and killed in the presence of Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu. So, of course, they're not going to tell Prahlad that we want to kill you, the people who taught this, so they're trying to be very polite. Buddhi Veda Parakrita Uta Hote Swato Bhavat Banimitam Shrota Kamana Guru Nam Kula Nandana. O best of your family, has this pollution of your intelligence been brought about by you or by the enemies? We are all your teachers and are very eager to hear about this. Please tell us the truth. So, we see two things counterimposed here. One is the view of the materialistic persons like Sandana Marka, who think that enemies are an other. They're a para. There's something other than me. You've noticed that in wartime, one of the means that a government has of getting people to kill other humans is by calling them another name. The geeks or the wops or the whatever. You know, you call them some name. And that way you can kill them. You make them into something other than human, or at least you call them the enemies. The enemies are attacking. You never say the people with families, the people who are husbands and fathers and sons who happen to live across the border from our country are now attacking us, go kill them. Who would pick up their weapon? But the wonks, they're coming. You know, the flops, the gooks. Enemies, they're coming. The para, the other, something other. And we have this tendency to think that someone who's like myself, they're my friend, and someone who's different from me, they're an other. I notice this especially because generally I'm away from my homeland, and sometimes I'm for a prolonged period of time in places where people don't even speak English. And I remember after being in China for a couple weeks, where very few people spoke English, and the people who did generally didn't speak English very well. Being in the airport, and some people ahead of me in line were not only speaking English, but they were speaking English with an American accent, and not only with an American accent, but with a Northeastern American accent. And immediately I felt a sense of kinship with them. I thought, how peculiar. Now, why would I feel a sense of kinship with people just because they're speaking my language with my accent? I see even people who fly on the same plane together. You know, if you're outside the airport waiting for your ride and it's late, and if you see someone who flew on the same plane with you, even if you never exchanged a word, if you ask them for help, they're more likely to help you than people who flew on another plane. They have some sense of kinship.
And we tend to think like this, you know, somebody who has the same color skin as I do, or who comes from the same part of India, or the same part of Ireland, right? That I can trust them. They're mine, as Arjuna was saying in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Swajana. They're my people. How can I kill my people? Because Arjuna was seeing the enemy as his own. He wasn't seeing the enemy as other. He said, wait a minute, the enemy is my own people. How can I kill him? Of course, what is the real distinction that the materialists make between me and an other? It's who is going to fulfill my desires. You know, we all come into a life as a baby, and our mother and father, generally, unless we have an awful family, take care of us, they feed us, they clothe us, they love us, and we get this sense that those who are like me are going to fulfill my desires, they're going to take care of me, they're going to take care of my needs. Speaking with one devotee day before yesterday, she's never married, she doesn't have any children, she's getting older, and she says, who's going to take care of me? Who's going to take care of me? I don't have any family. I don't have any people who are mine, who are like me. And we see those as enemies. We label those as enemies, people who are likely to take something away from us. So this is how we decide, ultimately, this friends and enemies business. Someone who's going to satisfy my needs, my desires, take care of me, or someone who's either not going to do anything, neutral party, or somebody who's opposed. And of course, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, just in chapter 6, where he's talking about Jnana Yoga, he says that a yogi is advanced when he sees stone, pebbles, gold with an equal eye, and he's further advanced when he sees friends, enemies, and those who are neutral, all with an equal eye. I was just reading in Krishna book, where Srila Prabhupada speaking about that the devotee sees everything as favorable, because he sees everything's given by Krishna. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says is that my enemies, my so-called enemies, they're sent by Krishna to teach me some lesson. And we give this example, you know, if you have trouble forgiving people, then Krishna is going to give you lots of opportunities to practice forgiveness. What does that mean? He's going to send a lot of people who are going to offend you. Just like if you're having problems matching nouns and verbs, and I'm your teacher, then I'm going to give you worksheets with matching nouns and verbs. So whatever it is that we struggle with, Krishna is going to give us opportunities to practice. And those opportunities often, almost always, seem to come in the form of other people who present challenges to us, whereby the only way we can overcome that challenge is to develop that quality or that behavior that we lack. But the way the materialists think is, oh, I want to keep the way I am. And therefore, I want to get rid of anybody who's pushing me to develop something different in myself. If somebody's disturbing me in some way, instead of thinking, this situation is sent by God to help reform me. Here's a noun and verb lesson. That must mean that I need practice with my nouns and verbs. Thank you, Lord, for sending me this lesson. How can I change myself? How can I adjust myself? Instead, the materialists think, I am already perfect, powerful, and happy. Siddham. I'm already perfect. Sometimes you see this on t-shirts, you know. I'm so close to perfect, it scares me. You ever seen that t-shirt? We actually believe this. I have some small faults sometimes, occasionally, when I'm tired. But otherwise, I'm a really good person. And even when I offend people, it's for a higher cause, because I'm trying to get something done for Krishna, so it's okay. You know, the problem is really all these other people. So Sadhana Namarka, who are supposed to be gurus, Guru Nam, they're feeling threatened by somebody who's teaching a higher truth, because what's Prahlad Maharaj coming to school and saying? There's no friends and enemies. This is illusion. This idea of friends and enemies is an illusion. And they're so threatened by this. Who's the enemy that's saying there's no enemies? The reason the enemy is saying there's no enemies is so we'll be nice to them, and then they can come and cheat us. So let's kill them before they cheat us. devotees see that there's no friends or enemies, that there's no other. First of all, by saying that everyone's a part and parcel of Krishna. Everybody's a part and parcel of Krishna. There is no other. We're all in the same family. We all have the same mother and father. Everyone is really my brother and sister. Really, even the little ugly bug. Where I go, you know, I see the nice kitty cat and I say, "Aw, nice kitty cat." And I see the cockroach and I go, but they're all my brothers and sisters. So in that sense, first of all, there's no other. And another sense, there's no other in the sense that it's not really my family and friends, the other people of my nation, the other people of my religion, the other people of my race, the other people of my gender, the other people who all hold my same political views, who are giving me what I need and taking care of me. Yoga Kshema Vinamiham. It's Krishna who's doing it. Krishna is doing it. And the evidence for that is sometimes the family does their best to take care and they can't. The baby dies. Best, Prahlad Maharaj gives this example, best medical care, best family care, and still the baby dies. And sometimes a child is neglected and survives. There are some what they call wild children. They're neglected in the forest and they survive. Sometimes some young child is lost in the wood for weeks. And they're alive and they're healthy. Now, how is that? So many examples we could give. So obviously it's not my Swajana who's taking care of me. It's Krishna who's taking care of me. And no one can take anything away from me unless Krishna sanctions it. Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. And if one knows this, if one's convinced of this, Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. Krishna wants to save me, no one can kill me. Krishna wants to kill me, no one can save me. If Krishna wants me to eat today, I'm going to eat today. And if Krishna wants me to fast today, I'm going to fast today. That's all. There can be so many arrangements for food, but if Krishna wants me to fast, I'll fast. I'll be just about to eat and my friend will break their leg and I have to go to the hospital and I'm at the hospital all day and I never get a chance to eat. Or I can make no arrangement for food and someone just comes and gives me a plate of food. I can have lots of money in the bank and there's an economic collapse and the bank says, sorry, your money's worth nothing anymore. Or I can have nothing and find money on the street. It's Krishna's taking. No enemy can hurt me without the sanction of Krishna. And no friend can help me without the sanction. Therefore, there's no enemy. There's no enemy. There's no enemy, there's no friend. So the devotee sees like that. Everyone is part of Krishna. Everyone's my brother and sister. So there's no other. There's no other. We're all the same. We're not all the same in the sense that we're all robots. We're all eternally individuals with our individual tastes and individual personalities. But we're all from the same family. We're all the same quality. And no one is my helper and no one is my hinderer. That's an illusion to think like this person is helping me, this person is hindering me. Of course, this is very difficult to see, especially for those who cause us grief. So how does one come to this platform? You know, when you come to this platform, then what do you get? Peace. Peaceful. If it's Krishna who's taking care of me, and Suradam Sarabhutanam, and he's my very, very, very best friend. Janaka Janani Daitatanai, Prabhu Guru Patitu Sarvamai. He's my mother, he's my father, he's my lover, he's my son, he's my husband, he's my guru, he's everything. And he's all powerful. Yashvara Sarabhutanam. The most powerful person, he's my best friend, he's taking care of me. And nobody can hurt me unless he thinks it's good for me. Just like parents take the children to a doctor and the doctor gives an injection. And the child may feel, why is this doctor hurting me? But with the parent's sanction. because it's good for the child. So if someone hurts me, Krishna must think I need that. It must be something loving. I have peace. I'm Krishna's child. Surely Krishna will take care of me. An ordinary parent takes care of their child. Why would not the supreme parent take care of their child? Even animal parents take care of their children. Even the birds are so busy taking care of their children. No bird mother would think, no bird father would think to neglect their children. And they're just birds. The little mice, they don't neglect their children. Remember we had a video in our Gurukula about these mice called scorpion mice. Most mice eat grains, but these mice ate scorpions. They would attack and kill scorpions, mice. And they were so loving toward their children. If some owl carried off and ate one of their children, they'd cry. You saw the male and female males, literally they were hugging each other and crying over their dead baby. Such care they were taking over their baby. So even a mouse takes care of their children. We have to speak of God. He's not going to take care of his children. So Krishna will take care of me, and his care of me is perfect even when I don't see it that way. Therefore, I'm not dependent on my friends to take care of me, nor am I afraid of my enemies, my so-called enemies, to take away what they cannot take away. It's not within their power. And not only just this detachment, but love for all living entities. If I love Krishna, and I'm going to love everyone that Krishna loves. Isn't it? Now, if you marry somebody and they have an obnoxious brother, you're still nice to them for the sake of your spouse. Even Krishna was kind to Rukmini because of Rukmini. Rukmini says, please don't kill my brother. He says, okay, I'll just give him a funny haircut. So this principle, it operates for all of us. If I love somebody, then I'm going to love anyone who's dear to them. And everyone is dear to Krishna. Everyone is dear to Krishna. So when somebody is acting as our so-called enemy, we can think, Krishna is allowing this. Krishna is all good. He's in control. He's my best friend. What should I learn from this? How is this person really my helper? And how can I feel affection for this person? Krishna has so much love for this loving entity. So Prahlad Maharaj came to this platform. Prahlad Maharaj was so much on this platform that he did not see his father as his enemy. He did not see his teachers as his enemy. His teachers in the next verse will say that the next few verses are going to talk about get a stick. First Prahlad Maharaj talks about get a stick. Beat him. Or maybe they already said it. And Hiranyakashipu tries to kill him in so many ways. And he's his father's well-wisher. It's not that he's a fool. He says, my father tried to kill me, he says to Nrisingadev. It's not just that he thinks, oh, my father was a nice guy. He says, my father was offensive in so many ways. Please liberate him. Because he loves everyone. He sees no one as his enemy. How did he come to that platform? So the hint is given here. He came to this platform by the Vaishnavas, by the association of the Vaishnavas. I mean, his teachers weren't sure. Did you come to this by yourself? Swantaha. Did you figure this out by yourself? Or Parakrita, was it some enemy, some other who taught you? So, of course, it was by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, specifically Narada Muni. And if we want to come to this platform of peace, and the materialists are trying to have peace by killing all their enemies and surrounding themselves with their friends, by destroying the unfavorable circumstances in their life and creating a favorable circumstance. Does it work? Can you perfectly create a favorable circumstance in your life and destroy all unfavorable circumstances and keep it like that? Anybody think that's worked for? I'm going to make everything perfect, only have nice people around me, make a perfect house, have a perfect job, and keep all opposing elements distant. And then once I set it up like that, it's going to stay like that. Does that work? So that's how they try to find peace. The devotee finds peace in another way. And how did Prahlad Maharaj find this peace? By the association of Narad Muni. So how does that work? Well, even materially speaking, if I want to learn something, I need a teacher. Neglected children who are brought up in a closet don't know anything. They don't even know how to talk. What can we understand without a teacher? So just even from an ordinary point of view, if I want to learn how to dress the deities, I want to learn how to sew a curtain, I want to learn how to properly clean the floor. Well, this is so embarrassing. When I was growing up, I never cleaned anything. We always had servants. So when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, all of a sudden I had to clean. I didn't know how. And my husband had been a Navy lieutenant, and you know, in the military, they teach you how to clean. The inspectors come with a white glove and go over everything. So when he married me, he noticed I didn't know how to clean, and he had to teach me how to clean. And over the years, we got many children in our Gurukula who also didn't know how to clean. Their parents had always cleaned for them and to teach them. Even something as simple as, how do you clean? How do you hang your washing on the line? I remember one of our students, you know, we'd wash it in the machine and then give it to him, hang it on the line, and he just took the curtain kind of threw it. And I said, it's going to be all wrinkled like that. You have to open it up. He didn't know. One needs a teacher. You can try to figure out everything yourself, but you might get it wrong. You might miss things. But to speak of the transcendence, and of course there's a higher transcendental reason why to come to this platform of real peace and real equality, one needs the association of devotees. This is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadampini. He says, we say that bhakti is causeless. We say bhakti is given to the fortunate. What does that mean? It's just whimsical. Okay, you get bhakti, you don't get bhakti, you get bhakti, you don't get bhakti. And how does it work? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna is neutral. He's giving instructions in the heart according to the desire of the living entities, and he's neutral. That Krishna is not forcing himself on the living entities. But Krishna's devotees, they know that although Krishna's neutral, out of respect, you ever have people who push you to do something? Why don't you do this? Come on, you can do it. You know, pressure you and manipulate you, and you think, don't you have any respect? Can't you respect that I have free will? So Krishna has such respect, he doesn't force the living entity. But although he's not forcing the living entity, in his heart, he's hoping, when is this soul going to come back to the spiritual world and enjoy eternal bliss? When is this soul going to be properly situated? When is this soul going to stop suffering? So the devotees, knowing the heart of Krishna, they go out and they give Krishna consciousness to others. I was just hearing Prabhupada explain, how does one become fortunate? He says one becomes fortunate by Agyata Sukriti. Agyata Sukriti, you're doing service for Krishna without realizing you're doing service for Krishna. Prabhupada said, when we go out and we do Harinam, we're chanting Krishna's name, he said, it's like we're forcing people to become qualified and fortunate and pious. We're giving people prasadam. They're not thinking, oh, I'm doing this in order to gain spiritual advancement, but we're giving them the credits. We're giving them the credits. And why does the devotee do that? Because the devotee loves Krishna. If I love some friend and they're having a difficulty with another friend, just like in the ashram recently, two of my friends were arguing. So I want them to get together again. I said, well, why don't you talk to so-and-so? It's okay. Just say you're sorry and work it out. And go the other way. Why don't you say you're sorry and work it out? It's natural, right? Or there was a time my sister wasn't talking to me because I joined the Hare Krishna movement. So my mother would go to me and say, why don't you call your sister? And she'd go to my sister, why don't you call your sister? Natural. So if we love Krishna, we'll naturally want to make him happy, and the thing that will make him the happiest is if all the jivas stop suffering. So out of love for Krishna, out of bhakti for Krishna, the devotee gives bhakti to the fallen living entities. Therefore causeless, the only cause of bhakti is bhakti. The bhakti of the devotee is the cause of the bhakti manifesting in the heart of a conditioned soul. And then Krishna's mercy follows the mercy of the devotee. When the devotee goes to Krishna and says, Krishna, please awaken this soul, Krishna says, okay, because you asked. Just like Narada Muni, who features frequently not only here with Prahlad, but in many narrations, when he saw Nalakuvera and Manigriva. Now this is interesting, because generally you give mercy to people who are receptive. I mean, as a teacher, usually you help the students who are the most eager, who try the hardest, who turn in their papers on time, who come to you and say, please help me. Those are usually the students you help. But sometimes you help the worst cases. The hopeless cases. Sometimes as a kid who's completely hopeless, just hopeless, they never do their work on time, they never come to school on time, they're always grumpy, insolent, disrespectful. And sometimes it's those kids that you just say, this kid doesn't have a chance. And you just pour your heart out to them. So in this case, Narada Muni did that with Nalakuvera and Manigriva. He thought, these guys have no chance. Okay, let me put them in Krishna's backyard where they can't run away. Put them as trees where they're going to watch Krishna's Leela. Well, keep their demigod consciousness. Keep them there. And as they were observing Krishna's Leela, right, their hearts started to change. And it's interesting that when Krishna liberated them, he said, you're very fortunate. Now, interesting. So just imagine, you're sitting here in the temple and Krishna manifests in front of you. He says, you're very fortunate. You think, yeah, I'm fortunate to see you. But Krishna didn't say, you're very fortunate to see me. He said, you're very fortunate to have seen Narada, who's like the sun. So if we want to get to a position of real peace, in the modern society, we're told, if you want real peace, just get a good education and get a good house and get the right sexual partner and get the right clothes and the right shoes and the right computer and the right mobile phone. Get a good security system. Live in the best country. And then you'll be peaceful. But if we really want to be peaceful, the way to do it is to get the mercy of the Vaishnavas, to learn from the Vaishnavas. And of course, that does sometimes happen through, let us say, mystical means. Drinking the foot water from a devotee, taking the dust of the feet of a devotee, taking the food remnants of a devotee. Just even getting the glance of a devotee, as explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But the main way to get the mercy of the devotee is to follow the instructions of the devotee. So we're getting that, of course, from Srila Prabhupada. He's giving us these instructions. Follow these instructions. Chant 16 mantras. Offer your food to Krishna. Preach this Krishna consciousness movement. And then he'll be pleased with us. And if he's pleased with us, Krishna will be pleased with us. And then more and more and more we'll see. As Prabhupada says, the materialists see the world as very aggressive and the devotee sees everything as happily situated. We'll see that everything is favorable. There's nothing unfavorable. Everything is a perfect opportunity for me to surrender to Krishna. Everything is a perfect opportunity for me to fall in love with Krishna. Everything is perfectly arranged by my supreme friend. And then when you see that, you have peace. So I didn't want to go very long today. Thank you for attending this morning after so many long days. Janmashtami, Vyas Puja, Akadasi, and another Janmashtami. And thank you for your hospitality here at the manor. I'll be leaving early tomorrow morning, and I don't expect to be back for at least a year, maybe more. So I want to again thank you very much for making me feel very welcome. Thank you to everybody who helped out in our tent. And I'm very glad to be part of Srila Prabhupada's international family. So I can just take maybe 3-4 minutes. Anybody has questions or comments? Yes, please.
One thing which about this equal vision between your friend and enemy in the same platform, Krishna himself, according to the Savannah, are reborn in the quarterly, and he puts us here, although they say because we're empty. So why should the devotee be more, you know, that's something to do with personal, myself, to be equal to everyone?
Oh, very good question.
I just don't like it.
Equal to everybody doesn't mean that you treat everybody the same.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
Thank you for bringing that up. Although Krishna puts us here, although he puts us here because we want to be here. He doesn't put us here because he wants us here. He puts us here because we want to be here. We're insisting.
I don't know if I choose to have a body that is dying. I thought we were here because we want to be independent.
But that's what it means.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that we want to suffer old age, disease, and death. We were just wanting to be independent. But I
humbly disagree.
Yes, okay.
I humbly disagree. I understand that there's death because the desires what we have to be independent can't all be fulfilled in one particular form. You can't fulfill all your desires in a male human body. Some of them can only be fulfilled in a male female, in a human female. Some desires can only be fulfilled in a demigod body. Some desires can only be fulfilled in a bird body. If you have a spiritual body, you can fulfill all your desires in that body. For this body. So there has to be death. And I have to forget, because if I remember, you know, then it's disturbing. When people don't have quite a match between their body and mind, it's a disturbance. If I'm born in the UK, but I feel I have a Japanese mentality, it's hard unless I move to Japan, you know, where people feel that they're a female in a male body, or some people feel that they're a dog in a human body, whatever, it's difficult. So therefore there's death and there's forgetfulness. And as far as a body that's subject to birth, death, old age, and disease, our desires to be independent, you're not going to like this answer, but our desires to be independent are actually very gross, actually disgusting. And the body that I have is the external manifestation of the particular kind of material desires that I have. So if I have material desires that are very fine and very high class and very sweet, then I get a demigod body. They don't have much disease. They have practically no old age. They get a little old in the last year of life. Their garland fades. You know, they don't have very many difficulties. I mean, if my material desires are very, 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 very fine, almost spiritual, then I get the bodies of the higher rishis or Lord Brahma's body. To get this body, I must have had, let's put it in the present tense, I must have very, very disgusting.
Okay, I agree with that.
But desires. So, but anyway, Krishna puts me here because I want to be here.
Yeah, but about this equal vision, then let's go back to that.
So although Krishna puts me here, he doesn't hate me. In fact, Krishna doesn't love me any less than he loves, you know, his coward boyfriends and gopi girlfriends and calves in the spiritual world. He doesn't have a pinch less love for me than he has for them. Not one pinch. I mean, again, even an ordinary parent, if one child becomes a doctor and another child becomes a heroin addict, the parent doesn't love the heroin addict any less. In fact, in one sense, the parents may be thinking about the heroin addict more. Now, if they're intelligent, they don't let the heroin addict kid stay in their house overnight with unlocked up money. So they may force the heroin addict child into a treatment program. So I love the tiger, but I don't go embracing the tiger. So I'm going to manifest my love for the tiger differently than I'm going to manifest my love for my baby. So that's intelligent. But it's not that I hate the tiger or think the tiger is my enemy. It's a practical consideration. It's not a consideration of the heart. I mean, just like in the temple, we have the men dancing on one side of the temple, and we have the women dancing on the other side of the temple. Hopefully, it's not because we hate each other or see each other as the enemy. I mean, sometimes it's like that. Sometimes, you know, especially the men towards the women, it seems more than the women towards the men. They think, you know, okay, the women are all my enemy. Oh, but it's a practical thing. If you mix the men and women, then there's problems. So there's practical arrangements. But you love everybody. You're not going to let a dog in that temple room because they'll curl up on the Vyasa-san next to Srila Prabhupada and they'll go walk on the altar and lift the boga off the altar. But you love the dog. It's not that you don't have love for the dog. So seeing equal vision and seeing that no one is my enemy doesn't mean that I'm foolish. But I have no enmity. I have no hatred. I have no enmity. Nor do I blame my so-called enemies as being the cause of my misfortune, my so-called misfortune. First of all, I don't see my misfortune as misfortune. I see everything as fortune. And I don't blame others. Generally in this world, we're distinguishing. Okay, this is fortunate, this is unfortunate. And we distinguish according to how comfortable it makes me feel materially. And I perceive somebody as the cause of the fortune or misfortune, and I appropriate blame accordingly. So don't do that. But yeah, I mean, if somebody's after you with a gun, you don't have to stand there and say, oh, you're my friend. Is that clear?
And another thing about the verse, also, because Prahlad was the son of their boss. So if it would be a normal demon child, they might have smacked him already. So they have to be extremely polite.
That's a good point about calling him Kula Nandana.
Yes, very.
Yeah.
He didn't want to smack him, but the other one, or else he would be in trouble with his father.
Yes. Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, they definitely had to play little favorites with him, since his father was in charge of the universe and their direct employer. Well, that was Krishna's mercy on them, so their offenses against him wouldn't be as great as they otherwise would have been. Thank you very much for bringing up those points. Anything else? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Prahlad Maharaj.
Yeah,